Morning. Good to see everyone out on this beautiful day. Already had a good time in Sunday school, looking for a good time in worship service, and looking forward to after church. I usually do this at the end, but we'll not be having night services tonight. We are going to Snow Mountain. I know that's kind of ironic, being it's supposed to be Snow Mountain in Heflin Tuesday, but we're going to Stone Mountain as a group and going. Pray we have a safe travel and a good time. Excited to go up there and push somebody down a hill. So y'all encourage everyone to pray and to have a good time. This week has been a tough week. Sunday evening we got some bad news of a friend that had passed away, and then a good friend of ours involved in an incident where a lady passed away. And so we ask you to be praying for those families involved. And I know there's many more that I'm not mentioning, but I do know for certain that over our land and over everywhere, people are hurting. There's people in need of prayer, people in need of the Lord's touch. So I ask you to lift each other up this morning and just pray earnestly for each other. We desperately stand in need of it. I know that everyone does. And for just our little crowd, we've had a tough week. So, but Lord's still in control. He hasn't lost control of one bit. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? You remember Frida? I know there are some that may not want names mentioned. We'll remember those.
I remember Michelle.
Yeah, a good friend of ours in Maryland has been in the hospital for about a week with some kidney trouble. So y'all remember her? Right. Can you remember that family?
Kay's sister Pam.
Yes, can you remember her? Remember Rudy's son, Craig, his mother-in-law passed away, and they're up there for the funeral this weekend. Pray for comfort for that family and safe travels as they travel back and forth for the funeral. Do we have any others?
Morgan.
Yes, Morgan Ward from Ramburn. She is recovering. She has been in a tough time since Christmas, or just right after Christmas, or sometime around there about. She's had a tough go, but she's hanging in there, and the Lord's blessed, and she is improving. And they're able to see some improvements in her. So y'all continue to pray for her. And these prayer requests, I know I'm guilty of this, of letting this be the last time I think of it when I say it up here. But let's earnestly pray for each one that's on our prayer list. And you have a list here you can take home and go over them and pray for them, and I encourage you to do so. It will make a difference. Make a difference in your life, make a difference in theirs. Any others? Before we pray this morning, do something just a little bit different. Y'all know me, I like to change a little bit every now and then. Do we have any birthdays for January? Any January birthdays? I'm going to try to do this every month. I'm just not being special for Pat. I'm going to try to get in the habit of doing it every month. Pat, the only one with a January birthday?
Let me see his
face. We got another one back there.
Brandy.
Brandy's got one.
Ella.
All right, now we each going to tell the age. No, we ain't going to do it. We all know how old Pat is.
Brandy. Pat.
Pat, oh yeah, I got a cheat sheet I have here. I ain't going to call everybody out, but anyway, remember those January birthdays. We had, as a group, come together last night, all of Pat's friends and a lot of her family came, and for her birthday, we had a little surprise party here. She thought we was just being mean because we had blocked her from the New Harmony page on Facebook, but there was a good reason. I didn't know that. I was going through all week talking about this, talking about surprise party, and I said, it's not going to be a surprise all over Facebook. I don't guess I realized you could block somebody where they couldn't even see it, but it turned out great, and she was really surprised. She came through the door and didn't even know what was going on still until she saw all those pictures. And we've got all those pictures, and at any time we can click a button, we can see them, and they'll be making their round about Bible school time, so stay tuned. But I appreciate her and appreciate what she means to our church. I know I give her a lot of aggravation, but she is special to us, and I ask you to pray for her and wish her a happy birthday. It'll be Tuesday. It's going to snow. You're not going to have nothing else to do, so call Pat. Heard she will be turning 70 Tuesday. Any others? Anything else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer and our singers will come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our church. Thank you for our church family. And Father, we come at this time with a prayer request that's been made known. God, I lift each one up to you. God, I know your ways perfect, and God, your ways are perfect. And Lord, we help me to trust in that and to rely on you as I should. And God, each prayer request that's been brought that's on each one of our hearts, Lord, let us earnestly seek your will in that when we come to pray and make sure our prayers line up according to your will. And Lord, we ask that you touch us as we travel today to Stone Mountain for a good time of fellowship and enjoying each other's company. Pray for safety. I pray for a good time. And Lord, I pray for these that's lost loved ones this week. I can't imagine what some of them's going through right now. Lord, I ask you to touch each one of them, comfort them, and Lord, let them understand that the only comfort really can come is from you. God, be with our singers this morning as they sing. Let us sing no other reason to honor and glorify your name. And as we come to preach an hour, I pray you give me the words to preach and help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. And let us be changed when we leave this place today. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Stand and sing with us this morning.
You hear me when I call, you are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Who shall
forever, he is a friend of mine. The God.
church has been silent while the world raised its voice. In loud and angry tones they took the lead.
But all across creation there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make His message known.
I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saved. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves.
The world still tells us daily that God is not a lie. Salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But lies don't change the truth that Jesus died for you. And the word says His returning could happen any day.
I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saved.
Morning again. Good to see everyone out. And I was supposed to welcome everybody earlier, but I'm scatterbrained and got caught up in everything else. So if you're first time New Harmony Baptist Church, we welcome you and encourage you to come back and be with us. And the singers had cut the singing short this morning to give me more time to trying to get out to get Stone Mountain on time. But they made a bad trade with y'all. Y'all have to listen to me more than you do them. And they were singing a song the other night practicing, and I was so hoping they was going to sing that song today, but maybe we'll get it next week. And my message was already, God already laid on my heart before I heard them practicing, but I thought, man, this is going to go along good. But the name of the sermon this morning is Are You Free Indeed? This has been on my heart for a week or so about being free. And there's a song, if you listen to the radio very much, especially the one I listen to is J933 or any radio station that plays, I guess you'd say, contemporary style music, you've probably heard it. It's sung by a new song, and it's a great song. And it's one of the most scriptural songs I've ever heard. Just about the whole song is in the Bible. It's just like they pulled words out of the Bible and put tunes to them. It's a completely biblical song, and it's a great meaning. But I began thinking about freedom this week, and if you think about freedom, it's we search for freedom, we strive for freedom. We see that there's people who try to come into our country, albeit illegal, to find freedom. I believe that our nation needs to be kept safe, and I'm not going to preach on that today, but people strive for freedom. We strive for it in our financial lives, we strive for it in our relationships, we desire to have freedom. It seems that every great inspiration story you ever have or hear about has some type of being free into it. There is wives who are in bondage and marriage. There's husbands who are in bondage and marriage, and we're not going to make any jokes about that, but there's all type of bondage this morning that people are bound. There's people, I know people that is bound by drugs. There's people that's bound by other sin, all kinds of sin you could put in that thing. So people today are searching for freedom. There's been every war that's ever been fought was about freedom. If you, those kids, those teenagers here this morning, I know you studied in your history class at school, why we're here this morning in the United States of America is about freedom. They want a religious freedom. That's why we're here today. We desire for that, but I'm afraid that we missed the biggest part about freedom that's important, and that's spiritual freedom. I love being free as an American. I do. I love being able to come this morning and preach to the, it may not be very good, but to the best I can do. I love to be able to come to Heflin, Alabama and be able to do it freely. I love knowing that when I leave here, I'm free to do what I want to do and all these things. And I love freedom. But probably is that, it may be that I'm getting a little bit older, but I begin seeing how important it is to be spiritually free. There's people in our midst, even in our communities, and maybe even in this church this morning, who go to bed at night and they're not spiritually free. They are bound. They are scared to death. If morning does not come, what does the future hold? And we've seen it happen even in our little community here of Cleburne County. A good friend of ours, she was on the way Sunday to pick up some stuff for her son's senior night at their wrestling thing there in Ramburn, and was hit head on by a drunk driver. Had no idea when she left home that she was going to meet the Lord that day. And it began opening my eyes this week to really understanding that we need spiritual freedom. We need assurance today that we know Jesus Christ. And if we know Him, we need to, just like as the song said, we need to be shouting it from the rooftops. We need to be telling a lost and a dying world that Jesus saves. He is the only form of freedom. If you got your Bibles this morning, or if you don't, you're welcome to look up on the board. This I've been here 3 years and still ain't used to this part. I'm come from the country and used to having to read it every time and look down at the Bible, and it's still a great thing, but I thank God for the technology. We can just look up and see it also. So if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, and this is where that song comes from, by the way. If you would, stand your feet to the reading of God's Word. Not very much reading this morning. Not going to make you stand very long. And John chapter 8, verse 31 says, Jesus, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, and said, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word this morning. God, I thank You for the blessings that You blessed us with. God, I thank You for giving us the ability to, and the health to be here this morning. God, I thank You for every soul that saw fit to come. Ask You for just a few minutes to open our mouth. God, touch our bodies that we may preach this in a way that's pleasing unto You, and that it may open eyes and open hearts this morning for people to understand that they stand in need of spiritual freedom. And God, we ask You to bless us for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Freedom. And I've mentioned a lot about spiritual freedom. What can make you free spiritually? That's what I told you about the physical freedom people search for. And if you was to search for what can make you free of a certain drug, you would have a solution. Go to a rehab center, do this and that, or what can make you free from a financial. They'll give you all kind of plans of how to get out of financial ruins and how to do better with your finances. And if you want to know how to have spiritual freedom this morning, I'm glad to tell you there's only one answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ. It's not about your goodness. It's not about my goodness. It's not about preaching the Word. It's not about teaching the Word. It's not even about hearing the Word. Well, it is hearing the Word. But the one thing that can save you this morning, that can make you spiritually free, is Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And unless you come through Him, you will not be right with God. He is the only way. So the only way you can be spiritually free is through the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So how this morning are you made spiritually free is you hear the word of truth. You hear the word of God. You search the Bible and it'll teach you that the only way a man, woman, boy, or girl can truly be saved is by hearing the word of God. Now this may be in a song. This may be in a Sunday school lesson. Maybe in a Bible school lesson. Maybe in a preacher like me standing up here shouting and spitting and all this stuff. But you must hear the word of God to be saved. The Bible teaches that you must, number one, your heart must be drawn to God because it's not natural for a man to seek God, that God seeks you and he begins drawing you to himself. And at that time, you get an opportunity and God sends somebody to preach to you the word or teach you the word or sing you the word. And through hearing the word of God, you're given an opportunity to come to him. And when you hear the truth, it says, whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. Listen, I've heard a bunch of words in my life. I've read a lot of words. I've heard a lot of words saying. I've heard a lot of things. But there was never a word that pricked my heart and let me know I was a sinner such as this right here. You know why? Because this is the only truth I've ever read. I've read a bunch of books, even by great Christian authors. But a lot of that is their opinion. A lot of it is what they believe is true. But my friend, this right here today, this is true. You want to know what truth is? You open this up from Genesis to Revelations. I believe wholeheartedly that this is the truth. This is the inspired word of God. This thing was preserved for you and me miraculously throughout the years. And God knows it's the only truth. He gives you the truth. And people all the time say, oh, I wish I could know what is true. Well, if you want to know the truth, my friend, you get into the word of God, and that is the truth. Amen. It says, whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel, which means truth. Of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This is how you become spiritually free. This is what can make you spiritually free. This is what can make you, when you lay in your bed at night and you begin fretting about, am I saved tonight? Do I know if I don't wake up that I will be with God? This is what can set you free. If you're here today and you're in bondage to this, there's no worse place to be than in this type of bondage. There is absolutely no peace when you are bound by this thing of fear, not knowing that you're saved, not knowing what's going to happen. It is terrible. It is terrible to live that way. And today I'm glad to tell you that you can leave New Harmony Baptist Church, not because of who I am, not because any words I can tell you, but because the words of truth, you can leave here and you can be free. Indeed, you can be free. Now, I began searching about freedom. Yesterday in my office in there, I began Googling freedom. About freedom, you come up with great stories of slaves being freed, and no doubt there were some ones that was treated bad and needed to be freed. You began reading about some who even got free from Alcatraz prison in California. Listen, y'all, they dug through the walls of that thing with spoons and forks. They tried everything they could do to be made free. And listen what they would do. They would take every night when the guards come around, they would let them have newspapers. So they would take old newspapers and wet them and plaster the walls so they would not know they was digging. And they dug for months and months and months to be free. And all of a sudden, guess what? They broke out of Alcatraz and they got on the Pacific Ocean. And they got on Pacific Ocean in some kind of makeshift raft. I can't even remember the guys' names, but I was reading about it. And they was never, ever seen no more. They was never truly free. They may have been freed from Alcatraz prison, but they never made it to safe land. They never made it to a safe place. They believe they probably turned over and maybe even sharks eat them there in the Pacific Ocean. So they was never free. But you and I today, when we come to Jesus Christ and we're searching that freedom and we hear the word of truth and we believe the word of truth, the Bible says that we are set free. And the way we know we can be free is we're given the Holy Spirit as a earnest on that promise. If I tell you today that I'm going to buy your house, you want some earnest money. You want something to tell you that place is going to belong to me, that I'm serious about what I'm doing. And listen, God wants you to know today that he is serious about this offer of salvation he makes you, and that when he saves you, he don't just leave you out there. He puts inside of you the Holy Spirit, knowing that you have a relationship with an almighty God. So you honestly, this morning, you can be assured that you have a relationship with God, and you can be free. You're going to hear this mentioned a bunch of times today, the word free, so get ready. The freedom. Don't you hear people say all the time, especially if you speak to them spiritually, they'll say, I wish I wish I could be assured that I was free from sin. I wish I could be assured that I'm right with God. I know I said the words. I know what I did. I bowed my head. I prayed when the preacher asked me to pray and this and that. And listen, I'm a little scared of that anyway. You need to come to God on your own and cry out. But listen, I have struggled with that myself. I've struggled with that. I was saved when I was 21 years old in Concord Baptist Church there in Muscadine, Alabama. I remember where I was and all that. And the devil always brings to me, well, I don't know if you said the right words. I don't know if you said the right thing that day. I just don't know. But let me tell you something, how I know I've been set free, because I committed my life to something that day. I committed it to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He changed my life. He put a spirit inside of me. And today I can stand here telling you for certain, on authority of the Word of God, because I have trusted Jesus Christ, I today am free. I have been saved. I have been free. Free indeed. Free indeed. Ephesians tells us, after we heard the word of truth, you're free when you hear the word of truth and you receive the truth in your heart and continue in the truth. Now listen to John 8:31. John 8:31 tells us something right here. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." What's another good sign that you've been set free? You continue in the word of God. Listen. I don't understand people who say they know Jesus, but they never want to hear his word. I can't understand people that say they know Jesus and they don't desire to be around God's people. I never understand people that said they know Jesus and they don't desire to know more of his word. I'm not bragging this morning by any means, because God knows I fall short in every area of my life. But one thing was given to me. The moment that I was saved, I have had a desire for the word of God. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher when I was 21 and saved. I didn't start preaching until I was 33. And I'm only 34 now. But listen, this thing, you got to continue. Continue in the Word. Why do you got to continue? I think we have a lot of people today that confess with their mouth. I've seen a lot of people confess. We have youth events. We have different things. This even happens in revivals. I've seen it throughout my life. I've saw it in Bible schools. I've saw people confess that they have been saved. I've saw them confess that they knew the Lord. I've saw them, and I don't know their heart, and I'm not questioning that, but that's between them and God. But all I can do is look from the outside and begin thinking about this thing. I believe we have a lot of people with a confession, but bless God, I don't think we have very many with a commitment. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. If you continue my word, disciples are followers. He said, you can know that you have been saved. You can know you've been set free if you continue in my word. This morning, do you have a desire to be in the word of God? Do you have a desire to be in church this morning and hear the things of God, to hear the words of God saying, to be around godly things? Do you have a desire to study your Bible? Do you have a desire to come to your youth class or your adult class or whatever it is? My friend, I'm not trying to get you to doubt this morning, but if you don't have a desire to continue in the word of God, then you might want to do some checking up. This is not me. This is Scripture. If you continue in my word, you know my disciples indeed. Listen at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. I've gotten a little bit out of sorts. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now that gets a little bit confusing when I read it like that, but to read it slowly and think on it a minute. It says, "They went from us." In other words, they left the congregation, but they were not of us. It says the reason they left the congregation is because they truly was never a follower anyway. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now listen, this does not mean that if you leave New Harmony Baptist Church that you're not saved. That's not what it means. It don't mean if you leave your church, wherever you're from or come from or have been from. I come out of Concord Baptist Church. I left there and no problems. I was called to preach, went to Lineville and preached for years and come to Rammer and preached for more years. Now I'm in Heflin. And because I've left that small body of believers, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about if you've left the body of Christ, if you've turned your back on it, then you truly never were part of that body. It says they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that it might be manifest or it might be known to people that they were never saved anyway. that they were never because they've turned their back on. Listen, if you get one thing out of this message, I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ can make you free, and you can be free indeed. But do not rely on your emotions or your feelings to know you're free. Rely on the Word of God. Rely on the Word. Listen, your emotions will lie to you. They will tell you. The Bible says you cannot even trust your own heart because man's heart is deceitful and wicked. You cannot even trust your own heart. Billy Graham, they asked Billy Graham one time, and those of y'all that's regulars, y'all have heard me say this 100 times, but this is for those that's not. Billy Graham said that they asked him, they said, how do you know that this thing is real? How do you know that wickedness is real? How do you know that Satan is real? He said, because my own heart. He said, my own heart is wicked. Billy Graham said this. The man who's responsible for preaching the gospel and millions coming to Jesus Christ, he said he had a wicked heart. And my friend, if Billy Graham had a wicked heart, I know I'm in a mess this morning, Terry. Because listen, Billy Graham, everything you study about Billy Graham, yes, he was a sinner saved by grace, but Billy Graham was a godly man. He lived a godly life. You cannot find any dirt on Billy Graham, no matter how hard you try. This man was a godly man. And he said that if his heart was wicked, then he knew evil was real. You know you this morning. You know your own self, the wickedness that lies within that we struggle with, of how you see people doing good and you think, the moment jealousy hits you, you think, oh my gosh, this is not godly. The moment you see somebody that God is blessing or a church that God's blessing, and all of a sudden this comes up and you have to say, wait a minute, flesh. Wait a minute, flesh. This thing ain't right. We can know by that thing that this is real. So what can make you free? The truth. The truth can make you free. But listen, how is that done? How does this truth make you free? It's through the family. Through the family of God. He says something here that caught my attention. He said, the servant abideth not in the house forever. Listen to verse 35. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. You see, in this day, slavery was very, very common. And me and you don't know much about slavery. We know what we've been taught in our history books about slavery, which, by the way, in a lot of ways is skewed. A lot of ways is not true. Some of it is, but you really need to study that thing out for yourself. But slavery was very different in this day. The slaves that we read about and we're taught about in history that happened right here in the South, you see a picture of them living in a shack with rain coming on their head and all these things. I don't know how much that was true. Probably some of it was. But slaves in this day lived in the household with a master. Lived right in the same roof. Done eat the same food. Even taught their children, they said. Many of them was teachers. Many of them was many more other things in the family. They held a great job. But one thing's for certain, that servant, he was not family in the true. And the reason I say this is because that this servant could move on. He could be sold again. He could go on to another family. And if the master died and the son come in power, then he could change everything he wanted to do. But listen, if you was born into that family and you was a son, there was nothing could not ever make you a son again. And that's why he says that a servant don't abide forever, but a son abides forever. So you can be free from the family. What do you mean? I can be free as a family. It says a son. Son has a part in there, having been made part of the family. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen, how do you become a son of God? The whole thing sums up, you become a son of God by the will of God. By God's will is how you become. Now, how does this will work out? It's very simple. God knows that we needed a Savior. God provided us a perfect Savior. God had everything to happen in your life. He had you to be in a church someday or in a youth event, maybe it was, or maybe in a Bible school or maybe in a Sunday school class. And it was God's will this person teach on this word. And it was God's will the Holy Spirit drew you to himself. And it was God's will that you said yes or no. You mean to tell me that God's in control of everything? Yes, that's what I tell you. God's in control of all things. He's got your best interest at heart. And this morning, if you are saved, whether you believe this or not, you did not come for you. He came for you. Amen. You didn't come for him. He searched you out. You're made a son of God by the will of God. It says you were not blood. None of us is born blood, flesh to God. We're completely separate. We are sinful humans. He is a holy, perfect God. nor the will of man. It's, hey, the will of man can't come up and say, I want to be right with God. Although we think we can, but listen, we cannot decide that when a man wants to be right with God, you've got a hard heart, and the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God has begun touching that thing and softening it up, has to make it a soft heart that God can work with. And when God begins dealing with that thing, then you say yes to God, and all of that in a perfect will. Oh me, this is overwhelming when you begin studying it this morning. You are miraculously saved by the will of God. You are bought into the family by the will of God. Listen, adoption this day had a very different meaning than it does today. Yes, adoption today is very powerful. But in that day, even kings would adopt sons who looked like they'd be better kings than their own fleshly sons. So a king could go out and he could adopt somebody into the family. And when he adopted that person in the family, they'd become a son. And that son, when the father died, he could become king. Because some of the family members wasn't fit for a king, they thought. So they'd go adopt other sons. So this adoption become permanent. There was nothing you could do to get an adopted son out. There was family. Just that fair. Listen, me and you, the Bible plainly teaches this about the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted by the will of God into the family of God. You are no more a servant, but today you are a son of God. And a son abide forever. I struggle with this all week. God, you're going to have to dumb this down for me. I'm from Ramburn. You're going to make this simple because I'm not very smart. And it's simple. You and I are servants of sin. We serve sin. Whether you realize or not, the only difference in us and the one lost on drugs is we're saved by the grace of God, but we still have sinful desires. We are servants of sin. A lot of times, everything in our lives, if we're not careful, we can get up in a lifestyle of sin even after knowing Jesus Christ. So we're a servant of sin, but listen, our righteousness is not on my being a sinner. My righteousness is on the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes me free. The Son abides forever. Jesus is telling us in these scriptures that we're not free by just coming in and out of the house. For even slaves can do that. Listen, you're not free just because you come into the house of God. Not just because you come into where God's presence is available. That don't make you free one bit. You've heard those saying that just coming to church don't make you a Christian any more than stepping in a garage makes you a car. Even slaves can come in and out of a house. They do that daily. But we are free by abiding in the house as a son. Ooh, when you get to studying this, it gets deep. And you can lose people very easily, but I want you to understand today that the reason you're able to be free with God, to be free spiritually, to be free and know without a shadow of a doubt, when you lay your head on your pillow, if you're let leave this walks of life, that you are going to spend eternity in heaven, the only way you'll ever get to this point is through the Son of God. The only way. Only way. So you're free by family. Listen to this. We're even free by our future. You say, wait a minute now. Our future, we don't even know what's going to happen in the future. We was reading in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the writer was being comical. He said, I know how I'm going to die. I'm going to die in my late 90s. I'm going to be in the hospital. The doctor's going to come in and say, Tommy, you have 24 hours to live. Get all your things in order. He says, so I'm going to tell my wife, is the bills paid? Is everything right? Is this right? Is that right? Is everything? And he was being comical. He said, of course, I don't know when I'm going to die. And nor does anybody in this building today know when you're going to die. You may say, well, preacher, you don't know. I'm completing suicide. I'm going to die such and such day. Well, may I tell you, if it's not God's will, that gun's not going to work. Or the bullet won't hit where it's supposed to. Your days are numbered. God knows when those days are. And listen, he is in control of everything. It don't matter what you think you know. God is in control of this thing. He's in control. We are free by our future. John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This means you are truly, truly free. You have no reason to be going around beat up by your past. You have no reason to go around beat up by things that's going on now, whether they're financial, relationship, I don't know what kind of problems. I do know we all have problems because we've seen it in every facet of life. People have problems. And all of us struggle, and all of us fail, and all of us come short of the glory of God, and all of this. But listen today, therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. Knowing our future, you have a place You have a place in the Father's house. Yes, that song says that. Oh, I love it. But listen, you have a place in the Father's house. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 2 through 6. In my Father's house are many mansions. Your version may say rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we not know where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and am the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. My friend, this morning, you are free by your future. Nothing can make you more free than looking towards your future. People that are truly in financial freedom, you know how they're made free financially? They've got enough laid up for the future, they think. They don't know what's going to happen, but in their minds, they think they're free from financial trouble because they put enough up. People that are free from their relationships right now because things are going good in the relationship and they've prepared for the future. Their wife and themselves have made plans to do this, this, and this in the future. And doing that, they think that things are secure in their thing and everything is fine. That's how they're made free in that. And your job, you made free when you feel like your company can't do without you. And your boss tells you, boy, you're doing a good job. I hope you never quit. I hope this and that. But listen, all of that is fallacies. That's not true freedom. You know why? Because it can change in an inkling. What cannot change is your future with God. Because you've trusted in the Son of God, because you've received Him in your heart, you're saved from your sins, and you're made gloriously free, and He tells you in that scripture in John that I go to prepare a place for you. And listen, He's been gone 2,000 years preparing your place, and honey, if He can do all this in 6 days, you think about what heaven must be like. He's been there 2,000 years preparing this place, and He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? I'm not going to leave you out. If I'm going to prepare your place, and I am coming to get you, and you're going to be with me. Our future as believers are secure. We're made free by our future. You may be here today saying, I don't know what my future holds. I do. No, I don't know what 3 o'clock today holds. I may not be here. I may not be alive. But I know that there's a place for me in my Father's home. I don't know if I'll live to be 70 years old as Pat did. I'm not joking. That's a blessing to live to be 70 years old. I don't know if I'll make it that far. But what I do know is I've got a place in my Father's house. I don't know that my job will be there tomorrow. But what I do know is when I leave this walk's life, I've got a place in my Father's house. So everything ain't bad. I don't even know if I'll have food to eat tomorrow. But what I do know is I've got a place in heaven. You see what I'm saying? I don't know a lot of things that's going to happen about my future. But honey, one thing I do know for sure is I've got reservations made and a room prepared. What about you? The Son make you free. You are free indeed. You are free. We should be running around. I wrote that. I don't usually write anything at the end. We should be running around shouting and glorifying God today, for we are free and not bound by sin. We're talking about sin in our Sunday school lesson. You realize what a harsh penalty sin carries. The payment for any single sin is death. The Bible teaches the wages of sin is death. That's the payment for it. Something has to die. And the great thing is Jesus has already died for it. You receive Him and your sin debt is paid miraculously. You have been set free. We should be running around. We've been saved. If the Son sets us free, we shall be free indeed. And I began thinking, the reason we have a struggle with this, of truly being free, is that we know ourselves. We know the bad things about ourselves. We know the things that even our mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives don't know. We know the bad things about ourselves. As bad as you are, and you know you've been adopted into the family of God. If you're saved today, as bad as you are, you begin looking up my name in Cleburne County and you go to a certain side of my family, you're going to have people that look at you kind of crazy. How'd you become a preacher? Them Benefields are liquor makers. I've heard it 100 times. How in the world you a preacher? This, this, and this. Oh, I remember your granddaddies. Whoa, they was bad. You may have a family name that strikes a chord in this community. But I'm telling you something, there's not a person alive that can say anything about my adopted name. Amen. I'm adopted into the family of God, an all-perfect, all-powerful, all-knowing, holy God. Adopted me as a son, not as a servant. I've heard people say, well, I'd be happy with just a little old cabin over there in heaven, or just this and that. Listen, I don't know what's going to be there. That says mansions. I know some places say rooms, different things. But anyway, there's never going to be a night. There's never going to be a storm. There's never going to be anything bad. Why'd I even need a room? I don't know. But I've got a place prepared. It's going to be complete, perfect. I'm not even worried about what's there. But what I am telling you is because you become a son of God, you don't have to settle for anything less than the best. You have the best. You have the best father. You have the best kindred. You've even made an heir with the Holy Son, Jesus Christ. I could go on for days about what a son means in Scripture. What a son means, the first, only begotten son especially. And you've been given an heir of that. You've been given a part of it. You've got an inheritance waiting on you that even moss can't eat. Nothing can tear it up. You've been blessed so much you can't imagine. You have been set free. If everyone would, please stand. I don't know how quick they can do this. Guys, can y'all play that song? I want y'all to listen to this song. It's exactly what I preached. Pat, I don't mean to... you need a day off anyway. You're 70. Y'all listen to the words of this song. You've probably heard it 100 times on the radio. May not have even paid attention to it. Give them just a few minutes. I'll throw this on them. They weren't ready for this one.
The highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me, and oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Free at last, He has ransomed me.
Thank the Lord this morning. I was thinking as that song was playing, I remember I got a brother that's 5 years older than me, and he got married when I was in high school. He's gone about 5 or 6 years, and he and his wife divorced and didn't have a place to live, so guess where he come? Back to mom and daddy's. Some of y'all here has got sons or daughters that's done the same thing. What I'm saying is, in daddy's house, there's a place for the children. They're always allowed to come back. You may be God's child, and you may be gone right now. There's a place for you. Not for that one, she's gone, but that's Blake's responsibility now. But spiritually speaking, we've always got a place in the Father's house. And I know physically, too, as some of us say, well, boy, this one's married and gone, and they wind up back home. It's because it's daddy's house. There's always a place for those children. If you would, please be seated. And our ushers come forth and take up our regular Sunday morning's tithes and offerings. I appreciate your attendance and attention this morning.